KBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. Oceania, the vast Indo-Pacific, and the headline from Reuters, Solomon Islands ousts official critical of close relations with China. The ousting was a vote, but then there was a scuffle. Reuters reports scuffles broke out after the vote. Police fired tear gas into a crowd of more than 100 after the scuffle, in which stones were thrown at police, said eyewitnesses. I welcome Cleo Pascal of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, who's been traveling just back from the Indo-Pacific to help us understand this vote to oust a man by the name of Sudani, who Cleo has reported on for the last year, and not only oust Sudani, but secure the Solomons, as far as I can understand, for the People's Republic of China in its ambition to gobble up, to embrace island republic after island republic across the Oceania. The U.S. is in the game, however. It's not over. Cleo, welcome home. A very good evening to you. Who is the man who's been ousted, Daniel Sudani? What do we need to know about him and why China's against him? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Daniel Sudani was, until this vote, the premier of the province of Malaita. He's very popular. He's not a professional politician. He went into politics relatively recently. And when China came in very heavily after the prime minister of the country, Tso Ghawari, unilaterally switched the country from Taiwan to China in 2019, he put out a declaration with his government, supported by the traditional chiefs, called the Aoki Communique, in which he said he didn't want any CCP-linked companies operating in his province. He thought it was bad for his people and bad for the economy, and he gave a very long list of quite astute reasons for why working with the CCP is bad, including that they believe in free, they themselves, the people of Malaita, believe in freedom of religion, and China is systemically atheist, which was, it was interesting to see that openly kind of stated as a reason that because of religious repression in China and the fact that they took religious freedom seriously, they didn't want to deal with them. So there was a moral component to it. And that really threatens the legitimacy of the Chinese Communist Party. It threatens its moral legitimacy, but by blocking the economic engagement, it also blocked their way of starting to leverage serious political warfare within Malaita. So he became enemy number one for both Tso Ghawari, the prime minister who had gone into the China camp, and for Beijing itself, because it gave a message that resonated well beyond the Solomon Islands about why dealing with the CCP is bad for a country and for the people. There have been consistent attempts to try to get him out, which we won't go into. We'll just jump straight to now. We have covered it on this show pretty much for 2.5 years, actually, at this point. What's happened now is it's a parliamentary system, so you can change the leadership without something that the U.S. would look like as an impeachment. So he's still a member of parliament. He's just not the premier, and the new premier is his deputy. There's supposed to be another vote for premier before the end of the week from within parliament, but they've also challenged this in court, challenged the legitimacy of this whole thing in court. And the context is that the Sudani camp knows, and in fact, the people of Malaita know, because they're very politically astute, that the goal of the Tso Ghawari, pro-PRC Tso Ghawari government is to try to incite violence. They want to try to create a riot so that they can come in heavy and have an excuse to postpone the next provincial elections, which are due just within a few months from now. So they are keeping it as calm as they can. Sudani and his group are keeping it as calm as they can. They're going through due process. They're not asking for demonstrations. They're just trying to see whether the legal system has also been captured. And we should know that within the next week or so.
This is a dispute in the Solomon Islands, which is a chain of islands, the most famous of which is Guadalcanal, However, it's representative of a struggle going on across Oceania, as I've learned from Cleo. And we mentioned, what are the stakes? In January of 2023, a U.S. warcraft was refused entry at Vanuatu. In August of 2022, a U.S. Warcraft was refused entry in the Solomon Islands, perhaps because of bureaucratic tangle, perhaps because China means to block the routes. Can we tell, Cleo?
So these two cases, in both cases, they were U.S. Coast Guard cutters on illegal fisheries patrols, which is something that the countries of the regions consistently say they want. One of the biggest perpetrators of the illegal fisheries is, of course, China. China does not want these cutters operating. They don't want not only their fishing impeded, but the fishing fleet is dual use. So they really don't want any of these activities to go on. And just to give you a sense, so, you know, the Coast Guard has really been stepping up in the region. And the latest incident that happened on January 26th in Vanuatu, the Coast Guard was going to go into Vanuatu, pick up somebody from Vanuatu as a ship rider so that they could go do a patrol. They waited outside Vanuatu waters. This was prearranged for hours and hours for permission to be allowed to come in. And their calls were not answered. And they just basically had to leave because they were running out of fuel. So it's being presented as a bureaucratic snafu, which I think is very insulting because it allows people who want to say, oh, you know, these islanders, they're all idiots. They can't get it together, to write it off. So it's doubly insulting for the people of the country. But it's not consistent with any of the other behaviors. And in fact, currently in Solomon Islands, the Solomon Islanders government is letting the Australian and New Zealand naval ships come in, but not the American ships. That's not bureaucratic. That's a deliberate decision. So I personally see this as a pattern developing of using this obfuscated political warfare to consistently block the U.S. out of being helpful to the people of the region. And just to go back to Malaita, one of the reasons I've been told people on the ground think that this happened now was because USAID is in the process of rolling out a very popular project on the ground in Malaita, and they want to disrupt that. This war is a political warfare war, and they don't want the U.S. to be able to look good at all. The U.S. has just opened an embassy in the Solomon Islands, first, you know, since reopened since the early 90s. I think it was last, it closed in 93. This is a big deal. The U.S. flag is waving over a building on Guadalcanal Island for the first time in decades. And a week later, as the successful aid projects are rolling out in Malaita, there's a political warfare successful attempt so far to take out one of the biggest critics of China. So the ball is moving. It's moving from the ports to the courts to the diplomatic service to aid projects. And the U.S. and others really needs to play catch up very quickly and ask, for example, where is Australia in all of this? Why haven't they been on top of this? Why aren't they helping? So it's developing in ways that are very dangerous for the people of the region, for the Western position in the region. And we seem to have lost sight of the ball.
My understanding of big picture here is that China is looking to use its sharp elbow to secure the first island chain and into the second island chain with basing possibilities, but also spreading its authority, its surveillance authority, into the waters that approach Australia, which is part of the alliance against China. So we're looking at what looks to be a successful operation, Cleo, the blocking of Malaita. You've identified it, as you say, for 2.5 years as a target. China is now scoring this as a win. Does the U.S. intend to counter?
Yeah, so thank you. So the first island and second island chain thing is very interesting because what this effectively does by getting a toehold in places like Vanuatu and Solomon Islands is China has leapfrogged the chain.
Right.
So it can come at the chain from behind. And in fact, if it's going to take Taiwan, what it needs to do is secure its position in the islands behind Taiwan to block any approach. And this is very clear to the people of the region. The people of the region are some of the best analysts of Chinese warfare and positioning there are. They've seen this happen before. They saw it happen with the Japanese. They saw it happen with the Americans. You know, they know what this looks like. And the president of Federated States of Micronesia, David Panuelo, put out a letter to other Pacific Island leaders when Wang Yi was going through last year and said, they are trying to lock us up because of Taiwan. Other reasons also, but Taiwan as well. So as you say, this linkage is very overt. And, you know, it's great that the U.S. has opened the embassy in Malaita. This USAID project is really successful. But the Chinese positioning is massive. I've heard numbers like tens of millions in cash being spread around in Solomons. And even in Malaita, just officially, we can see, I did an interview with Peter Cantalaria, who is a member of parliament, son of the first prime minister of Solomons. He said there's a mini hospital that's being funded by China for about 40 million local dollars. And the money is being run through that. Right. So it's being run through that to pay off locals and to set itself up for the future. They are not joking. The Chinese have this as a very high priority, and they're putting in a lot of money, and they know everybody on the ground in a way that we really need to.
Cleo Pascal, just back from the Indo-Pacific Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. Depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you can't measure it on your bathroom scale. Sorting out a mental health concern is not something to attempt on your own. You won't find a bipolar disorder by looking at a thermometer. Like many other health conditions, help for mental illness takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a stick-on bandage. So the sooner you seek treatment, the better. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. Find out what to do. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support. That's samhsa.gov/support.